This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And we've been asking you, are you more productive when you're working from home? Remember, you can get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter, Instagram, it's at BFM Radio. But for now, though, let's get an update on KLCI.
Yeah, so at break, the FBM KLCI is down 2.7% at 1,268 points. Most markets in the region are all in the red. Just a quick look at the Singapore Straits Times Index. The STI is down 7.3% at 2,234. Looking at some of the more active counters just before break on the Bursa, Lambo Group, Air Asia Group, Jax Resources, Hibiscus Petroleum, EcoVest Berhad, Genting Malaysia, Bumi Armada, those are some of the more active counters on the bourse. And a quick look at the currencies. The ringgit is continuing its slide against the US dollar. We are right now at 4.44 against the greenback, 3.05 against the Sing dollar. And let's look at the Aussie dollar, 2.56 is where we're at.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there an appropriate response to this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know if you're more productive at home, since a lot of people are probably working from home on this slightly gloomy Monday. The sun hasn't been out. Especially over the last few days, I've realized it's been raining almost every single day. So
it's kind of like it's what you don't need when you have to get up and work from home. When outside it's, you know, nice and gloomy, you just want to stay under the covers. It's just not the most productive weather, you know.
Yeah. So on Twitter, that's my full name, says, I can squeeze in household chores. Already did two rounds of curtain washing. Oh. So that's impressive. We've got a few more. Afik Zamri says, if the kids are not around, then yes, I'm more productive. Ashik says, it does, but it does take a lot of effort and focus. Plus, if the kids and wife are at home, it's even more difficult by 35%. It's very specific.
Wow. 35.
By 35%. So, you know, it feels like, you know, working from home is productive if you are alone at home. And if you've got kids, then, you know, it goes out of me. If you've got kids and wife, it's
35%. Yeah.
I like that number.
Looking at Insta story, Dreamy Mun just says, yes, more productive. Like Fools in Love says, mindset-wise, yes. Internet connection-wise, no. We've got Anna Lim who just says, nope. And Ahmad Zafrullah, who also echoes that with, no.
Yeah. Okay. One here from RC on WhatsApp, it says, I think there's good and bad about working from home. The bad thing is I may be working day and night, as what was mentioned previously. I tend to forget what day it is, what time it is, and work into midnight or weekends. But the good thing is emotionally I feel less stressed as I'm working in the comforts of my home. I can wear any attire that I'm comfortable with, not needing to be stuck in a jam. I can even work on my bed, whichever way works best for me. So when I'm less stressed, I'm more productive. So, you know, like I've had 6 years of experience working from home, you know, in my previous life. So, but it was just, you need to have a separate room, right? You need to have a separate area. So it's sort of like that little boundary that you know that, okay, I'm working, that kind of thing. And you find that because you're eating by yourself, your lunch only takes about 15 minutes max, and you're actually back at work doing things. So I find that actually working from home was very productive.
Eating by myself and only in 15 minutes is something that I'm very used to, even before this movement control order thing happened.
You wolf your food down.
We hardly have time for lunch, back.
Actually, you know, that echoes what Richard said, right? As long as there's a dedicated workspace, then yes. Another positive is that food delivery service is much quicker.
Richard, so he's
so Richard is clearly thinking about food, which kind of leads us, you know, nicely into our second story, because besides the tourism and travel industry that's being impacted a lot with COVID-19, I think the F&B industry is also facing a lot of challenges. And the biggest cost in these businesses are staff costs and also, you know, rentals followed by utilities. According to Hapa Group, they issued out a statement and they're saying that, you know, the government has issued a directive to waive SST for 6 months for hotels only, but not for F&B businesses. Mm. Additionally, TNB has announced a discount for 15%, but it's only applicable for hotels and it's not for F&Bs. And these SMEs are actually the biggest group of employers in the country, aside from the government. And they may only employ like 20 to 200 employees, but because, you know, the SMEs employ like thousands of, and we've got, you know, I think, you know, thousands of SMEs nationwide, the number of employees in total becomes in the millions. So, you know, they're proposing that maybe the government should also look into some steps immediately. For example, like maybe the same tax deferment of income tax payments, yep. And also revision of the profit estimates for 2020 in the F&B sector, calls for the same exemption for HRDF levies for the F&B sector, calls for the same exemption for 6 months for SST for the F&B sector, calls for discount and suspension of utilities and assessment charges for 6 months for the F&B sector, calls for a mandatory waiver of rentals from landlords, and also maybe a 6 months moratorium on bank loans payments for landlords in the F&B sector. So a lot of focus should be, you know, I guess, put into the F&B sector as well. And, you know, hopefully we will see in the matter of days that, you know, maybe there will be some, you know, leeway given to the F&B sector, because we've all seen it. I think, yes. You know, you've all probably would have noticed the restaurants down your house have all been impacted by this. You know, the tables and chairs have been turned upside down and kept into, you know, a corner at the side, and they only are doing takeouts and deliveries. And even then, you could see, you know, it is not the usual, you know, number of crowd or people that they're serving, right? So, you know, that is becoming a very problematic issue, and also because not many of them are on online delivery services.
So I was just having this conversation with Jennifer, and I said, you know, why don't you contact StoreHub? That's one solution. And, and she's got a couple of suggestions here, and hopefully, you know, the government will take heed. But it is a macro picture, right, where also that direction has to be given to the banks, because they, you know, so, and then it affects the real estate owners, and there's a cascading effect. So you can try to do this, but you also have to look at the bigger picture and how a lot of things need to be given a break, like, to just keep people alive.
So I think, like, maybe we just don't understand how big or how significant we know that 98.5% of the Malaysian businesses are SMEs, but you know that I think we have 900,000 SMEs in the country is what StoreHub claimed. There's about 900,000, and 200,000 of those SMEs are actually F&B outlets. So that's just to give you a gauge of, you know, the amount of businesses we're talking about and the impact on its employees as well. Mm.
So over the weekend, you know, I got in touch with a friend of mine who actually runs a food channel on YouTube and Instagram. And so he runs two of them. So it's Matt Ong. He runs on YouTube and Instagram Major Makan, and also Matt's Food Journey. He's also has a spice company delivers and sells spices to restaurants. So, you know, I actually got on the phone with him, just asked him, like, you know, hey Matt, like, you know, what do you think is happening with the local F&B sector? Because he recently came up with this Google sheet that is shared basically anyone in public, if they want to, you know, jump in to help F&Bs that are not on this delivery service yet. And maybe there is a way that, you know, if you want to order, and you can order for your family who's, you know, stuck at home for, you know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 of them at home, you can then use their services to just give them a ring, and they will be able to deliver, because most of these businesses are not yet on, you know, the Grabs, the Food Pandas, and so on and so forth. So, you know, actually, I spoke to him. So, Matt, like, what inspired you to actually create this Matt's Food Journey list?
All right. So, I really love food, and I am the kind of guy who lives to eat. I'm also very much a part of the food industry because I sell spices to restaurants, and I also cover and review food. Since the nation went on partial lockdown, you know, we've become really super dependent on delivery services. And I know the guys from GrabFood, they're my friends, they're doing an amazing job at getting vendors on board as quickly as possible. But I realize that a lot of them still aren't, especially the uncles and aunties, or, you know, even the new establishments. So I thought, instead of sitting around and watching the industry, you know, just die and falter, I thought it would be really cool to start a list of vendors who aren't on any delivery apps, but they are delivering to survive, okay, maybe on their own. we have got about 20,000 true blue foodie followers on my channel. And so I thought, you know, maybe we can leverage on that while also offering, you know, amazing spots to people and introducing to them like all these different places that are doing deliveries.
And you've been to many different hidden food gems on your channel. How do you think they're actually coping with the challenges right now?
So I'm seeing two schools of thought right now. None of them are wrong, of course. You know, on one hand, you've got business owners who feel it's their responsibility to close so they don't contribute to the spreading of the virus, right? And on the other hand, you've got owners who want to remain open, not to make profit, you know, that's unlikely to happen, but to help their workers stay afloat during this time. So ideally, I think a business should be able to close and also pay for overheads, but that's not always the case. The hidden gems that I know, they're mostly doing deliveries on their own, or maybe they've hooked up with a delivery partner, or they're open for takeaways. And I really hope that through these small methods, you know, they can keep themselves afloat.
So how can the people actually help and also contribute here?
So people can help and contribute in two ways. You can either go to my channel, Matt's Food Journey. It's on Facebook. And there's a link there. You know, you can pass the information on how to get on the link to your favorite food stalls who are doing deliveries. Get them on the list and I'll try to push them. Or you can share the link yourself and, you know, order from them to support your favorite food stalls. You can share the list with your aunties, your uncles, your family, your friends. I'm not saying you shouldn't cook at home. I think you should stay at home as much as you can. But if you're thinking of ordering out, you know, consider the people on the list.
And what would be your message to the people?
So I really think it's very important to keep positive and calm, to be compassionate, to be kind, and to do whatever you can in your own capacity, in your own area, in your own field, to help each other, right, in whatever way, small or large. I also hope that people will stay safe and, fingers crossed, you know, stay at home and hopefully this will all be over.
That was Matt Ong. He runs, I think, two channels on YouTube. It's Major Mark and also Matt's Food Journey, giving, you know, I think, you know, it was really nice to see just how someone who's, you know, well connected within the F&B sector decided to just create a Google sheet. It's as simple as creating a Google sheet, listing down all the F&B restaurants that he knows are not on these delivery services, online delivery services yet, but they are still open and delivering it on their own. So, you know, if you know any of these restaurants, get in touch, speak to them, and you know, get some food from them.
It's very interesting, right? Because all these people with these concerns, if they all actually now work together, they all have, you know, we don't have to work in silos, and maybe this will result in more collaboration and all that. I mean, tough times calls for tough, you know, measures, which is I guess enlightening in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a feel-good factor. It allows us to also help support these businesses. You know, not the ones that are just closest to where we live and that we frequent, but also the ones that are out there. Because, just earlier this morning...
I don't want anyone to interview.
That's true. That too. But also, you know, just earlier this morning, I remember we were talking about this, Frida, about how there was a study by JP Morgan Chase that indicated that restaurants only have cash reserves of 16 days. So if this partial lockdown actually continues to prolong, you know, if we don't get our act together, if we can't flatten the curve, and if it extends, this could mean, you know, more of these businesses just, you know, closing shop.
Well, you know, since it's close to lunchtime, if you are thinking of ordering some food, maybe perhaps, you know, you should think of different restaurants who are not on this online delivery services. Give them a ring and see if they're open and see if they can deliver some food to you, because, you know, any bit would definitely help these individuals. Get in touch with us, because we're asking you, are you more productive when you are working from home? It's WhatsApp 0187898899, Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio. We'll be right back with more BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.